reading to you from the 21st chapter of Luke, and with the third verse. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Boy, howdy, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I'll tell you this. I am so glad that one day God said, "Cecil, you might be a roofer, but I want you to tell people about Jesus," and I've been trying to do that. Oh, am I perfect? No. Am I the smartest man in the world? No. But I know Jesus. I know I was a drunkard for many years, and I went to a pastor's home in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there I heard the most beautiful love story ever told to man. And that morning, on my bended knees and broken heart, I told Jesus I was sorry and invited him to be my Savior. Well, friends, I know it works. It has kept me sober 55 years. So, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, and let's begin reading with the 13th verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Lord, that they may rest from their labors, from their deeds follow with them. For their deeds follow with him." We've labeled this life's last beatitude. Well, we're all familiar with the beatitudes of Jesus, but here is a beatitude spoken by an unknown voice from heaven. It is a beatitude of comfort for all those who lose loved ones in death. This is a beatitude for the end of a believer's life. Blessed are the dead. Can this be true? Well, the key to this mystery is that these people died in the Lord. Well, let's ask this question. What blessings do believers who die receive? Well, number one, the Bible said the blessings of rest, that they may rest from their labors. Now, the setting of this beatitude is the tribulation period on earth. 144 believers followed the Lamb, and I read in verses 1 and 5. I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his fathers written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sounds of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones which have not been defiled with women, for they had been kept; they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men at first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They were blameless. Well, these people were preachers of the gospel. Verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. These have undergone great persecutions, even martyrdom. Now they had found rest with their Lord. Many people are weary from a long years of labor. Hey, listen, I retired when I was 62 years old from my business. And I will assure you, I've never been busier in my life since that I retired. What am I doing now? Am I working for myself? No, I'm working full-time for Jesus. Do I get paid for it? No. Do I get paid any time? Oh, yes. Every time I introduce a soul to Christ, I get payday. See, my morning prayer is, Lord, give me souls for my hire. That's right. Well, some people are weary from enduring hard trials. Friends, I've had a lot of trials, and I'm sure you have too. Now you say, well, Cecil, look, I'm not even a Christian, and boy, I'm enduring hard trials. Well, let me tell you the difference. When Jesus comes into your heart, first of all, he takes out the heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh, and then he gives you peace. Every Christian, every born-again believer listening to this broadcast tonight are called of God. What? You say only God calls preachers? Oh, I got a flash for you. If you're not serving the Lord in some capacity, you're not doing what God asked you to do. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Listen, I can't go anymore. I can't go anymore, but I can send. What money God has entrusted me, I can send people. I can buy scooters for some of the pastors in Africa who are riding bicycles through the hot sun and the sand, but I can get them some scooters so they can go. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Others are weary from years of sickness. My dear friends, and I'm serious about this, I have been sick the last 15 years of my life. Very sick. And I'm telling you, sometimes I have got weary. I'll have to tell you the truth. I'm not complaining, but I had to. It was tough sometimes, especially with my breathing. Was it 2 months ago or 2 months ago that I was in the hospital 4 times within 2 weeks? They'd put me in there and I couldn't breathe, and they'd give me steroids and all this and that. Well, right now, I'm on 1 liter of oxygen, which is a miracle. Beloved, if you'd have saw me, you'd say, boy, it is a miracle. But we do get weary sometimes of sickness. And old soldiers may weary from fighting for freedom, but heaven will bring long-awaited rest, the blessings of reward. Their works do follow them. We are not saved by works in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I don't like to be repetitive, but I want to tell you something, friends. I used to honestly believe, when I was a lost man, that when I died, I'd go before the Lord and he'll have 2 books, good works and bad works. And he'd read them, he'd count them up. Well, I said, here's a good thing he did, here's a good thing he did. And then he'll look over here on the bad things I'd done. Oh, my stars, they really, really outdid the good. So the Lord would say, be gone, you cursed worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Well, that's not the way it works. Did you know there are a lot of rich people believe they can buy their way into heaven? You say, well, you know, I hear you Christians give 10% of what you... Well, some do and some don't. I, for one, do. I'm not buying my way into heaven. I'm doing what he asked me to do. Give 10% of my earnings to the Lord's work. You say, well, I thought you said the Lord owned a cattle on 1,000 mountains. He sure does. But listen, I'm not trying to buy my way in heaven. But by giving him my tithe, I can send the gospel around the world. I sure can. A lot of churches, you know what but over here is two really, they're big churches. Oh, yes, they are. They're fancy churches. And here was 15 teenage girls with bikinis on, and they were out there flagging cars down. They wanted a car wash to raise money so their church could have things and going. Dear friends, that was a slap in the face of the Lord. Listen, girls, women, let me tell you something. It's wrong to dress like a woman of the street. Or you're not supposed to dress, and be provocative. You're supposed to dress as a lady. And you know something else, friends? I'm going to tell you something. Now I know you're going to say I'm crazy, but this is true. I see people going to church here in Denver in shorts. Women in shorts. Women in shorts. I don't care if you don't wear a necktie. That's not the important thing. But wear the best that you have. Show your honor to the Lord. You know that? That's not asking too much. But some churches, they're so sloppy, they don't care what they look like. They don't care how they dress. They just go ahead and flop. And during the invitation period, I used to really come down on my people when I was pastoring. The invitation is the most important part of the whole meeting, even more important than the messenger and the message. But they would get their coats on, or they'd put their Bibles down on the thing, and they'd drop their songbooks. You see, the devil was using them so that people would not listen to the Spirit of the living God and trust Jesus. That's the truth. That is the truth. And you know what? I'm not a Catholic. No, I'm not. And I'm not putting the Catholics down, but I will say one thing for them. You go to a Catholic church, there's quiet. There's reverence. And we should go in there, and we should sit down, and we should bow our head, and we should pray. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Instead of yakety-yak, you can visit on the outside. But in the God's house, that's his holy temple. Well, heaven will bring long-awaited rest. Now here's the blessings of the Lord. We are saved by grace through faith, but the saved are his workmanship, created to do what? To do good works. The believer's good works brings a reward in heaven. Now, rewards for enduring persecution for Christ, I read in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, sure we're going to be persecuted. Oh, my friends, you won't believe it. There was three ladies in our church are very close. One of them become unfaithful to her husband, and she had married and had three kids. And I'm his associate pastor, and so I went over to this place to see these three women and talk to them about this problem. And I said, and they were mad at me because they said it wasn't true, but it was true. But anyway, I said, listen, ladies, let's all kneel here and let's talk to the Lord and get him in there to help us. Well, I got on my knees and started praying. They started beating on my head and beating on me and kicking me. Oh, yeah, they did. Sure, it hurt my feelings. It really did. Well, there's rewards for loving enemies and doing good. And I read in Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Now, that is probably one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible. to love your enemy. It's hard. Oh, I know it's hard. It's hard for me to pray for some of our congressmen and all these people in back east too. But I do it. First of all, I pray that they'll find what we found, Jesus. These men are godless men. Now, I do not, and I don't care what you are, whether a Democrat or Republican or what. If you vote to kill babies, you are a murderer. Abortion is a sin. Oh, it's a sin. But they all believe in doing it. Now they want to cover this abortion with this health deal. They want to kill us old folks off. They want to say, well, this man, he's young, and he needs a liver. And this guy's 70. We ought to give it to him because he's going to die anyway. Did you know we had a governor of the state of Colorado that told us in the newspaper, old people, it's your duty to go out and die and get out of this world. Whew, man, that guy was as godless as it come. Beloved, listen, let me tell you what. There's rewards for faithful service. There sure enough is. Yes, there is. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians, now we who plant and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. I have a real dear Christian brother. And he's got some funny theology. And he told me, he said, I'm not going to get no awards. I said, well, why not? You're calling God a liar. That's exactly what he's calling. Sure enough is. Well, and he said he's going to reward you for what you do. Now, listen, if I were to tell you tonight, now I want you to go out and I want you to work for the Lord for what you can get back. That's wrong. You don't work for rewards. You sure don't. But you are rewarded for the work that you have done for the Lord. I've said this many times. You see people who are outgoing in your church and bubbly and all this and that. And you think, man, they're the ones that's getting the work done. But there might be a little old 75 or 78-year-old widow in the back of the church. And she's praying. Oh, she's praying. No one notices her, but she is praying. And something good happened to church. Well, that was because of, oh, what's name? He was an outgoing soul. No, it wasn't. It was because of that little old lady who prayed back there and no one noticed her. You know, dear friends, years ago, this pastor, he never did like me, and I don't know why. I really don't, because I never did anything to him. But nonetheless, his church had called me 2 times to preach revival, and the pastor overrode it because he didn't want me to come to the church. Well, about the 3rd time I get a call from a deacon, says, Brother Mo, we want you to come preach a revival, but the pastor don't particularly want me to. But I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come preach a revival if that pastor drives his car up here to Linden, Washington, walks up on this roof where I'm working, and invites me to preach the revival, I will do it. He said, you got a deal. Lo and behold, one morning about 10 o'clock, here come that long-legged, tall preacher from Texas. And I just walked toward the edge of the roof, and I said, I'll be glad to come. Well, now let me tell you what happened. When I got down there, the first day of the revival was on a Sunday morning. And this little old lady, I don't know how old she was, but she was up in years. And she came up to me and she says, Brother Mo, did God send you here to preach this revival? I said, yes, he did. I said, if you'd known the circumstances surrounding me coming here, you would understand it. Now get this. I said, well, why do you ask? Well, she said, preacher, I've been praying for a revival in our church for several years, and we've never had a revival, not one. Did you know that first morning during the invitation, her granddaughter came forward and accepted Jesus Christ? I do not know how many of her family was saved during that two-week revival. We know there was 50 were saved, but I don't know how many was her family. And the pastor's wife was her daughter. And one night I preached on John 3:16, and I could see that God was working on this pastor's wife. The next morning I went down to the pastor's home to go visiting. And she came to the door and she said, well, Brother Mo, come on in. I said, well, how come you got such a smile on your face? Well, said, last night I got gloriously saved and I almost swallowed my tobacco. I wasn't chewing, I was kidding. I could not believe it. I said, you were saved last night? She said, that's right. Said, I've been going to church since I was a little girl and I thought I was going to heaven. I was a pretty good old girl, but last night the Holy Spirit of God convicted me that I was just playing games. And so I went home and got on my knees and trusted the Lord. She said, what am I going to tell the church? I said, you're going to tell them the truth. Oh, she said, I don't know if I can do that. I said, well, tonight when they were at the revival, I said, I'm going to ask for testimonies. And, oh, I love testimonies. They're very important in a church. And I said, is there anybody who would like to say a word for Jesus? And that dear lady got up and turned around and faced that big auditorium. It must have been 200 or 300 people in there. And she said, this morning I gave my heart to Jesus. And there was, people were gasping for air because she was really she was the sweetest lady. She could have fooled the devil himself. And then she got baptized because she really wasn't saved when she made a profession of faith. But friends, listen. If your church needs a revival, can I give you a suggestion? Why don't you take it upon yourself to be the one that ignites the fire? Why don't you pray every day and every night and every day and every night? Why don't you enlist some peoples in your church to pray? Oh, my friend, you could see a revival break in church. Well, now the Bible said there's going to be a reunion someday with believing loved ones. As I've said before many times, I've got a mother, I've got a father, two sisters, and two brothers in heaven. And oh, that's going to be a great day when I see them. But more than all of that, as much as I missed my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sister, I want to see Jesus. Because you see, friends, if it hadn't been for Jesus, they wouldn't be in heaven, nor would I. Oh, listen, we'll know our loved ones when we're in heaven. Our loved ones offered comforting words to our Lord. He offered his comforting word to his disciples. And here's what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. Oh, my dear friends. He was going to heaven to prepare a place for them. They would meet him in heaven and be with him forever. We'll enjoy the no mores of heaven. No more death, sorrow, crying. Revelation 21:4. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any crying or pain. The first fruits have passed away. Dear friends, I can remember the day I was a 13-year-old boy. And I went to my mom's funeral. I never hurt so much in my life. I cried and I cried till there was no more tears. I'd lost the sweetest person I ever knew. And I didn't realize someday I'd see her again. My mom was a Christian, but I sure wasn't. I didn't become a Christian till I was 50-some years old. I mean, 30 years old. That's right. Well, there's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow. You say, Cecil, I've got cancer. I've got this, I've got that. Well, don't worry. You won't have no pain in heaven. You won't have no sorrow. Every believer dies with a beatitude. And we can be sure that the best is yet to come in Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this past present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Friends, let me ask you, where do you stand tonight with Jesus? Where do you stand? Well, he wants to save you. If you're not saved, I want you to bow your head right now. And I want you to cry out and pray the sinner's prayer. It goes like this. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I've been so bad. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask for you any money. I don't care where to go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I do want to thank you for listening. I pray I said something that would encourage your heart. I know life is rough. I've experienced a long time, 84 years of it, but I'm still happy with Jesus, and I still want to keep telling others about him, because that's the joy that God gives every Christian. If you're not winning souls or not witnessing, you need to get on your knees tonight and ask God to forgive you. And get out there and get busy about our Father's business, because Jesus is coming soon. Well, friends, keep praying for me and my wife and our prison ministries. And I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.